Well, the mission of Church of the Canyons comes out of Matthew 28, and is it is so important for us to make that a reality in our lives, which is to lovingly proclaim Jesus to everyone and to teach believers how to love, obey, and serve him. And this year, what we're trying to do is really focus on the first portion of that mission statement, because it is the imperative of the gospel, to lovingly proclaim Jesus to everyone. So in a variety of ways, we've been trying to do that. One of those ways is the Big Easter outreach that we're trying to do to proclaim Jesus to the multitudes that surround us. But one of the ways that has been very effective is to share how Jesus has changed lives in individual testimonies. And throughout the year, we've heard a variety of testimonies. And this morning, we want to hear from Fred Largent. Fred and Dodie came to our church a few years ago and immediately just plugged in, and it felt like home to them, I hope, and it certainly has felt like home to us. And a few months ago, he shared his testimony at one of our men's breakfasts, and I asked him if he would be so kind as to share it again today. So please welcome Fred Largent.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. We have felt like it's a home. Before I start my testimony, I want to read a passage of Scripture. The one who lives under the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God whom I trust. He himself will deliver me from the hunter's nest, the destructive plague. He will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield. Psalm 91, 1 through 4. As I grew up, my life was kind of different. I'm a military kid. I was born in Camp Pendleton. And for the first 15 years of my life, I lived in about 21 or 22 different locations. We were all over the place. And it really came to a culminating end my third grade year, when I was just almost 9 years old. One of the things you can realize is my mom was upstairs, I think cleaning or doing something upstairs, and as a child growing up in the military, you knew if that Marines dressed in their blues came to your door, they were only going to tell you one thing. And I opened the door, and they told me what I was expecting, that my dad had died. He was 32 at the time, and that he had died. And, you know, it was a shock. And for that year, we lived in three different cities my third grade year, and it was an adjustment. But again, the Lord was my refuge. One thing that my mother always did was to make sure that we went to church. She never went herself, except maybe occasionally on an Easter or a Christmas or whatever else, but she made sure that we went, and we lived next door to churches, and I can remember getting all these attendance badges, you know, that you see, and going to Pioneer Boys and other organizations. But one of the things that I realized in my childhood was that I needed the Lord's protection. I needed Psalm 91, 1 over and over and over again, because not only did I remember not having a dad, but there was a lack of size. In my eighth grade year, I was the second smallest kid in the whole school. I graduated, I was 4'10 and a half. On top of that, I had a really bad speech impediment, and if I get really fast at myself, it comes out. And so, you know, kids are going to be kids, and they unmercifully just rip me. And my self-esteem and my self-thing was almost non-existent. And I think if it wasn't, you know, for my defense mechanism. And my defense mechanism was that I was going to be the best and do everything for all the wrong reasons. You know, we always are told to strive for excellence. Well, that's good if you do it for a God-given reason, but you know, I became the best academic person I could and the best athletic person I could in spite of my small stature. I was only 5'5" when I graduated from high school, yet could slam dunk and was a long jumper and a sprinter and everything else. But I did it for all the wrong reasons. God was not in the midst. And I can remember in my eighth grade year, I was invited to go to a church, and the funny thing about this is that the girl that invited me, who was my neighbor, never went to the church again. But because of that, I got involved in a youth group in my eighth grade year, so almost about 50 years ago. We went to church camp in Camp Evangel, going up the backside of Big Bear, and we had this evangelist. Now, if you know anything about evangelists from Louisiana, they were holy fire, brimstone, and the conviction. And, you know, he did things completely different. Instead of singing, you know, I Surrender All, or Softly and Tenderly, or Just As I Am, or whatever else did they do in revivals, and I came from a denomination that had revivals 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 times a year, he threw a curve on us and he said, let's sing a song, give of your best to the master, give him first place. And that kind of hit me because I sure was giving my best, but it wasn't to the master. It was to everybody else. It was so that I could feel good about myself. And that summer, I gave my best to the master. Now, does that mean throughout my high school and college years that was always true? No, it wasn't. But I can remember between my junior and senior years in high school, I went to a church camp again. I mean, a church conference again, all for the wrong reason. Again, to make it look like I was something, which I wasn't. And we went to a Bible conference, I think it was in St. Louis, and to be the quiz championships of the denomination I was growing up in. And again, the Lord convicted me, and he spoke about Psalm 91 again, that God will deliver you out of whatever you feel bad about yourself on. And the Lord tugged me and said, Fred, I want you to be in my business. And so that's when the Lord called me away from a scholarship from a college locally, away from all of what I perceived to be what I wanted to go to a small little Bible college in Iowa, which is no longer in existence, because the Lord called me. And at that time, he gave me my life verse. And it's amazing how the Lord works, okay? You know the song we just sang that Brad led us to it. Okay, you'll see where I'm going in a second. Isaiah 40:31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. It's amazing how God's promises came so to fruition throughout my life these last 50 years. From marriage concerns that a young pastor in Texas came fruition. Because one of the things that my wife vowed never to be was a pastor's wife. Okay, and she will tell you that. She was a PK, okay, a pastor's kid. And because of that, we struggled. But again, the Lord called us somebody into our lives so that he could renew our strength. As I said in the first service, and I had Dan Davis that just reminded me of this because he graduated with my son. And his sixth grade year as he was diagnosed with diabetes. And how we've almost lost him numerous times because of his diabetes. How the Lord renewed our strength when we were to our wits' end. 4 years ago, some people were with me in Placerita, and as Dodie got her first bout of cancer, and again, the Lord was renewing our strength. And this time, the Lord is really renewing our strength. And I appreciate the prayers, and your prayers are answered, being answered, because her CA-125 is what normally we would have. It's about 18, I think, 0.8 or something like that right now, which is even lower than it was. And so we can praise the Lord, but the Lord's renewal of strength is so prevalent in my life throughout these 50 years that the Lord has allowed me to walk with him as of next year. And I'm reminded of a song we sing, "My God is an awesome God. He reigns victorious." And you know, as we walk through the shadow of life, he is going to renew our strength. He's going to mount up with wings as eagles. We're going to be able to walk and not be weary, run and not faint. Thank you.